This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Time slowly killing you and taking a piece of you. Every day take a bite of you. Until one day it will come and nothing left. And that's when you expire, you die.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah wa ba'd. All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family, his companions and his followers until the day of judgment. I bear witness that Allah is the only one worthy of worship and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his last and final messenger. Today I would like to talk to you about the one thing that we are all certain about, which is death. And what happened to us when we die? Death is something that it is become something very common these days. Every day in the news we hear about number of people die and killed or murdered, especially us who are living in the city of Houston. If you just to put the local news every day, there is somebody shot, somebody, you know, there is like, death is something became very common. And one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, the Prophet ﷺ said, the closer we come to the end of the days, the larger number of people die. You know, in one strike, hundreds of people die in just one night, you know, or an earthquake, or a natural disaster. Not long time ago, during COVID, we've been hearing death became just number. And unfortunately, also some of us at least, go to the cemetery, bury their loved one, heard about people that they know passed away. You know, but yet, death does not move our hearts. Even we all know that one day we will die. And nobody knows when this day is. And nobody knows when it's going to be. If you're young, you think you are immune from death, you're wrong. If you're healthy, you think that you're immune from death, you're wrong. If you think that somehow you are protected from death, nothing protects you from death. When your time comes, there is nothing can protect you from death. وَلِكُلِّ أَجَلٍ كِتَابٍ. For each and every soul, there is a determined time. I heard a doctor once sharing his story. He is from Syria. He's a Syrian doctor. He said, I lived under the president. His father was the president before him. Okay, in Syria, how was it? And both father, son like a father, both dictators, both countries run a police state. And he said, I was riding, and you know, the one who control the country where we live are, we call them Zuran, which is thugs, you know? And like, you know, this is the guy who run the country. He said, I was riding in something called microbus, which is a small bus. I still remember I was in the front, and I was in the fourth year in medical school, seeing myself a special person in the country. I will be a doctor, I will save the life, I will be like, you know, among the, you know, quote unquote, he will be among the elites in the society. And he said, I'm proud of myself, I'm doing good. And all of a sudden come this guy who's a thug, you know, have no education, nothing. He just opened the door, and grabbed me from my seat, and took me out of the car and threw me in the ground. And he ride in my place. And his entourage, the 2-3 people, basically took over the whole entire, this taxi, and they kicked, I'm the one who only kicked out. I was so angry and so mad. How I've been humiliated like this and I see himself like something special. He said, wallahi, he wasn't even, you know, maybe a 1 kilometer or less, like 3-4 miles. The taxi took off from the station, and all of a sudden this huge sound break. A wheeler, a big truck came and hit the bus, this taxi, the microbus, hit the taxi. And the only one died in that accident, the person who was sitting next to the driver, my seat, where that thug took me out and sat in my place. And when I saw that, I just went and made sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not his time to die. If I stayed in this seat, I will be dead and I will not be telling you my story. He's saying, when your time comes, there is nothing can protect you from it. I know of another incident of a man who was driving his motorbike. I forgot right now, it's been a long time. But I think it was motorbike. And he was driving and he hit, you know, he was in a village, so he hit a wheel, okay? And he's basically front wheel hit the structure of the wheel. And he basically fall off the bike inside the wheel. People thought he's dead, but he jumped into the water. He said, I tried to hold into the structure of the wheel, but I fell, and Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, he didn't, let me say it again, tell the story, because the point is the following. So he told them about how people, when they saw, they came in the rush, they put a robe, the guy was alive, Alhamdulillah, not even a broken bones in him. They took him out of the well, and Alhamdulillah, salam, mashallah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, you say, what happened? He said, oh, I was riding my bike, so he basically actually riding his bike, and he goes like this, you know, but subhanAllah, I think what he did, he put a little bit, pushed the gas more, so he hit the structure of the wall, and he fell, but this time he died. And I heard this from the people who witnessed the incident, or I was told by the people who witnessed the incident. Or he tried to show them how it happened, and he fell, but like slip, and he fell into the wall, and he died. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, still he has 5 or 10 or 15 minutes in his lifespan. He has to live it. And when the first incident took place, his time did not come yet. When his time came and arrived, he died. That's something we should be sure about. When you hear about people die in Gaza or in other places, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided for the person to die, that person will die. The point is not when you die. The point is how you will die, in what state you will die. What kind of person you are when death comes. That's the main concern. Just thinking about death, not just people die, but think about death for you to reflect upon this so you can grow. تعتبر, to reflect. And to ask yourself, am I ready? If this was me, what will happen? Kan al-A'mash Sulaiman ibn Mahran, one of the great scholars, used to say, kunna nahdhuru al-janaza. We used to attend the funeral. Qal fama nadri man nu'azzi. Nara al-kull baqiya. He said, when we go to somebody's funeral, I don't know who is who. Who are the family members of the deceased? Because everybody crying as if they are related to the one who just passed away.
هم لا يبكون على الميت يبكون على أنفسهم. They're not crying because of the person who died, not all of them. But the majority of them crying because of them thinking about themselves. And they're thinking, what if it was me? What if that was me? What if I'm today, that's it, I'm not any longer going to be able to live. يقول ثابت البناني, and another scholar in another place, he said, كنا, we used to go witness the funeral, كنا نشهد الجنائز فلا نرى إلا باكية. Everyone crying. يقول النخعي, إبراهيم النخعي, another great scholar, قال كان يشهدون الجنائز. They used to go attend funeral. قال فيرى فيهم ذلك أياما. For days after witnessing the funeral, for days, you can tell there is something change in them. They're still impacted by that scene, by that experience. They're still thinking about it. ولذلك يقول أسيد بن حضير, one of the companions رضي الله عنه وأرضاه, قال ما شهدت جنازة. I never attended a funeral. I prayed janazah on someone or went to the cemetery. وحدثت نفسي بشيء بعدها. And I couldn't think of anything after witnessing the funeral, except this the only thing occupying my mind. ما يفعل بالميت؟ ما هو سائر إليه؟ I just keep asking me, how is he feeling right now? How she's feeling right now? What kind of life that she has? Who's asking her? Who's asking him? What kind of question did they, will they be able to answer? Are they scared? Are they comfortable? That's all what I think of. When I'm honoring the janazah, the only thing I'm thinking about, you know, now he will be asked. Now the two angels will come to ask the person. Today, unfortunately, we attend funerals. We hear about death. We see people dying and buried. We pass by the cemetery. But does not move anything in our heart. There's nothing changing in our life. And that's very unfortunate. As if we've been granted by Allah that we will not be tested or with death. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us already that we go into Jannah. As if death is something yani very far-fetched, not something gonna happen to me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ.
This death that you run away from death, by staying healthy, having health insurance, going to doctors, doing surgery, you run away from death. That's a natural thing. Avoiding the thing that lead to death, that's a natural thing. No matter how much you try to avoid death, it will meet you at one point.
ستفضي بك الأيام في بعض مرها إلى ساعة لا ساعة لك بعدها.
The days and the nights are carrying you to a moment that you will not have extra moment after it.
وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ.
The death, the sakra, the pain of the death came with the truth.
وفي قراءة وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْحَقِّ بِالْمَوْتِ.
The truthful pain bring death.
هذه اللحظة عظيمة.
إنك ميت وإنهم ميتون.
يا محمد, you will die and they will die.
جاء جبريل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. جبريل came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he said, يا محمد.
كذا الله send جبريل to محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم to remind him.
قال يا محمد, أو محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم,
أحبب من شئت فإنك مفارقه.
يا محمد, love whomever you want.
you will leave that person behind you one day. Or that person will leave you. You're going to be apart, depart, you will depart from each other at one point. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانٍ. Allah says every single soul on this earth will come to undo, will come to death. I don't want to even go to tell you the statistics that we do have in the United States, for example, every hour, about 336 people die. Every hour, every 1 hour. You do the math. If every 60 minutes, over 330 people die, what do you think every minute will be? What do you think every week will be? Every year will be? Globally, every minute there is 116 die, and that's not including people die in the war zone. Just a natural death, they call it. Scary. Have you visited the cemetery recently? Do you know in Houston, the cemetery filled up, then we purchased another one here in Southeast, and we purchased another land, and it was filled up. Then we purchase another land and it's almost filled up. 3-4 of them, just in the last 10 years. Then we bought in the community a large one farther up in the west. I said, Zamal Khair, you know, provide this big, huge cemetery. I remember when I went there not long time ago, it was just one line or one and a half. Now, a whole section almost done. And when I go to the cemetery, I like to, sometimes people write the dates and the age of the person. I like to read that. All kind of people. Men, women, young, old. And that's just something make you think. Then after that, you see people go to the cemetery and take the janazah. And you know what? As if nothing. Just as if it is just a job, going to fulfill a job. Ibn Mas'ud, رَأَى رَجُلْ يَضْحَكْ فِي جَنَازَةٍ, saw a man laughing in a funeral. قَالْ لَا أُكَلِّمُكْ, you will not talk to me again until you learn how to give the proper etiquette for such place. People don't, you know, unfortunately, said, would they hear about this? About death? I'm not saying this. What I don't want you to, when you talk about death, the point is not to make you scared and paralyzed. No, it motivates you to do more good, to abstain from the haram, to be more committed to do the right thing. We love life. Life is good. Life is not a bad thing. Aisha radiallahu anha said, every one of us love to live and hate death. That's a natural thing. But we know also we're going to die. And we must be prepared for that. And when the moment comes, we are ready and welcoming it. As some of the early scholars, like some of the Sahaba, like Bilal radiallahu anhu, he was seen right before he died. He was telling the people around him, move, and he was looking ahead of him, and he said, welcome, as if he's speaking to someone, welcome, I've been waiting for you, I see these shiny faces coming to me, I've been waiting for you. غَدًا أَلْقَى الْأَحِبَّةِ مُحَمَّدًا وَصَحْبَةِ, soon I will be reunited with Muhammad and his companions, the one that I love the most. That's something that, you know what, when that moment comes and you're ready for it, you've been thinking about it, you're preparing yourself for it. When it arrives, you're ready for it. That's why when Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik asked Hazm al-Tammar, why do we hate death and we love dunya? He said, because you have kharrabtum akhiratakum wa ammartum dunyakum. Because all your investment, all what you have done is in regard to this dunya, not to the akhirah. All your investment. And that's pretty true. Let's just think about it. How much of your time of your life been spent focusing on the dunya versus the akhirah? Like every day, how much time we spend in studying, in working, family, everything related to this world. Workout in gym, you know, watching TV, cell phone. Just think about all the time of your day, of your years, how much of it completely focus on the dunya and how much of it focus on the akhirah. Alhamdulillah, if you're among those smart ones who, you know what, I go eat, I go do this, and my intention is to do this for the sake of Allah, and Allah reward me, so I will get reward for it. But majority of people don't even think about that, the reality. I'm just occupied, caught on the wheel of life. And time is just keep going. Thinking that I've been killing sometimes, but the reality is, time slowly killing you and taking a piece of you. Every day take a bite of you until one day it will come and nothing left. And that's when you expire, you die. Salman al-Farisi, when death came, he was in tears crying. قِلَّ يَعْنِي يَوْ سَلْمَانِ الْفَارِسِ crying. You're the companion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What are يعني, what left for us? قَالَ وَاللَّهِ مَا أَبْكِي عَلَى دُنْيَاكُمْ. I'm not crying because I'm going to depart from this life. وَلَكِنْ عَهِدَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنْ يَكُونَ بُلْغَةُ أَحَدِنَا بُلْغَةَ الْمُسَافِرِ. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم have asked us to live in this life like a traveler. كَسَادِ الرَّاكِبِ, like the one who's traveler. The traveler, what the traveler takes with him. I mean, these days we take a lot, 2 suitcases and extra, you know. But no matter what, compared to what you have at home. And he said, I'm not sure if I have kept what the Prophet ﷺ told us to do. Look at how much I'm leaving behind me. Look how much I have. قال فلما مات, when they buried him, جمعوا ماله فكان بضعة عشر درهما. When he died, they look how much he left behind him, and they found that he only left behind him several silver coins. That's what Salman Farisi worried, that was too much. I'm saying this because when I talk about the journey of your soul from the moment of departure of body until the moment to resurrect, you have to take that serious. Umar radiallahu anh, you know, he was stabbed. And he lost for 3 days after he was stabbed. And the doctor told him, the doctor give him like a water mixed with grape or juice. Grape juice, and it came with the blood, so they couldn't distinguish it. So they gave him milk, and they found the milk coming out with the blood. Basically, the man who killed him, he stabbed him in his guts. The doctor said, this man is dead. So while he is in the process of death, just for the last, you know, few hours of his life, دخل عليه ابن عباس. Ibn Abbas visited him. فقال يا أمير المؤمنين أبشر يا أمير المؤمنين, expect nothing but good and greatness from Allah. قال أسلمت يوم كفر الناس. You became Muslim when people were kuffar. وقاتلت مع رسول الله يوم أن خذله الناس. And you fought with the Prophet ﷺ when people were coward and scared and they forsake the Prophet ﷺ. وَتُوفِّيَ وَهُوَ عَنْكَ رَاضٍ. And when the Prophet died, he was pleased with you. وَجُعِنْتَ لِلنَّاسِ خَلِيفَةً وَمَا اخْتَلَفَ عَلَيْكَ رَجُلًا.
You were chosen to be the Khalifa, the leader of the Muslim, and no two men disagreed. Not like anyone else, like Uthman, there was disagreement. Abu Bakr, in the beginning, there was a debate. You know, Ali, there was a debate. Umar is the one person, everybody hands down, they agreed. Then he said, that's something so special about you. Then Umar looked at him and قال أعد علي ما قلت. Say what you said again. He repeated it. Then Umar رضي الله عنه قال والله المغرور من غررتموه. You deceive people with things like this. And I will not be deceived by what you said. قال والله لو أن لي ما على ظهرها. If I have now على ظهرها من أصفر وأبيض, if I have as much as gold and silver that can cover this earth, can you imagine the size of earth? Gold and silver, and I spend it all for the sake of Allah, or I can give it all up, I will do that just to be saved the moment of Hawl al-Muttala'. I just want to be saved from that moment where I will arrive to a position or a point where I don't know what's next. Is it hellfire or paradise? You can say whatever you want, but I can't, you can't, you cannot guarantee me that. I don't know what will happen next. Read Abu Huraira, he said, it's like you, كَأَنَّكَ عَرْسْ فِي سُعُودِ وَعَلَى مَهْبِطْ لَا تَدْرِي تَهْبِطُ لِلْجَنَّةِ مِنَ النَّارِ. It's like you're going over the mountain, and behind that mountain you don't know the valley that you're going to go to is a valley in Jannah or a valley in hellfire. That's so scary. The risk is so high. It's terrifying. كان يبكي عند الموت. He was in tears and he said, قال سفري يعني قال أبكي على بعد سفري وقلة زهدي. Abu Hurairah, the one Allah sent through him the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, "I'm in tears because the journey is very long ahead of me. I'm not sure if I have enough provision to make me survive this journey." And we think just because we mashallah fasted Ramadan and we prayed 4 rak'ah every day in Taraweeh with Sheikh Waleed, who read like 3 ayah every rak'ah, mashallah, يعني I'm now في منازل الشهداء والصديقين. سفري بعيد وزادي لا يبلغني. My journey is very long ahead of me. My provision, not sure if it will be enough to make me reach my destination. وقسوتي لم تزل والموت يطلبني. My heart is so solid. It's not soft. Even though I know death is chasing me. وَلِي بَقَايَا ذُنُوبٌ لَا أَعْلَمُهَا أَوْ لَسْتُ أَعْلَمُهَا. I have many sins that I even forget about. I don't remember all my sins. اللَّهُ يَعْلَمُهَا فِي السِّرِّ وَالْعَلَنِي. But Allah knows what I have done in secret, in private or in public. That journey is something we should take serious. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day came and he said to ashabi, he came to his companion and he said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اُذْكُرُ اللَّهِ اُذْكُرُ اللَّهِ. All people, remember Allah, mention Allah twice. جَاءَتِ الرَّاجِفَةِ تَتْبَعُهَا الرَّادِفَةِ. The day of judgment is coming. Then he explained how the day of judgment is coming. He said, death is coming, and what will follow death? Because he said, because it was mentioned by Anas radiallahu anhu arda. And Anas, in one narration, he said that this is a statement from the Prophet ﷺ, but it's a weak narration as a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. But it is something agreed upon between the scholars, which is, قال من مات قامت قيامته. Whoever die, their judgment day start.
That's a statement by some of the scholars of the Tabi'een or the Sahaba, but not a statement from the Prophet ﷺ. But the concept, the meaning is absolutely correct. That's why Nabi ﷺ said, أَكْثِرُ مِنْ ذِكْرِ هَذِي مِنْ لَدَّاتِ. Mention death so often. And part of mentioning death is to learn about death, is to learn about how this will happen, what will happen to you, how to prepare yourself for it. Shifin Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi used to remind them in a different ways. Once he saw one of his companions, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, kid fixing the house and decorating the house. Then he told him, Al-Amru Asra'u min dalik, fi Sunan Tirmidhi. He said, it's much faster than what you think. Yani soon you would leave that behind you. Wamarra, ya'ti young man, like Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab. Young man. Abdullah ibn Umar was in his early 20s or late 19, 20, or something like that, in that age. Young and healthy. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he comes and he put his hand on Abdullah ibn Umar's shoulder and he said, Ishfid dunya ka'annaka gharibun aw abiru sabir. Wa'adud nafsaka min ahli al-qubur. Live in this dunya as a traveler. And count yourself as one of the occupier of the graves. That's where you're going to go. Allah praise the believer that they think about the Akhirah. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Seek help in being patient in salah. Something hard except for those al-khashi'een. Who are those al-khashi'een? الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those who know that they will meet the Lord and they will return to the Lord. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ مُلَاقُوهُ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Have taqwa of Allah and remember that you will meet Allah. And give a glad tidings to the believing men and women, to the believers. Glad tidings, why? Because when you as a believer die, تحيتهم يوم يلقونه سلاما. They will be greeted with salam, peace be upon you. وأعد لهم أجرا كريما. And Allah prepare for them a reward, nothing similar to it. That's a very different picture than the other ones who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in his book. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَطُمَأَنُّوا بِهَا. Allahu Akbar. Those who don't have that belief, that certainty in their heart, those who are not thinking, hoping, occupied, the mind's not occupied with the meeting of Allah. And they're so satisfied with the worldly life, enjoying their life, enjoying every day, enjoying the things in life. And they're so comfortable, comfortable with it. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ. What's the result of being so relaxed with the dunya, don't think about the akhirah, you just only think about fulfilling your desire here, nothing about next? What will happen? You definitely will be heedless. You will see sign from Allah and it will not remind you. Sign. This is lecture is a sign, is a reminder. You see death happen to you every day and you read in the news, it doesn't remind you of preparing yourself. يقول إذا أتتك الأربعون فخذ حذرك. When you became 40, be careful. They say when you see the white beard coming in your white hair or gray hair in your beard, your mustache, in your hair, or in your hand, whatever. A
that's واحد من نذر الله. That's one of the reminder of Allah. Be careful. Those people who like that, these signs do not remind them of Allah.
أولئك مأواهم النار بما كانوا يكسبون.
They end up in hellfire because of what they used to do. قل هل أنبئكم بالأخسرين أعمالا. We read Surah Al-Kahf today, or some of us did. You want to know the worst losers? أولئك الذين كفروا بآيات ربهم ولقائه. Those who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sign, and they deny and they don't believe in the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So everybody is going to die, as Allah says.
كل نفس ذائقة الموت ثم إلينا ترجعون.
Everyone shall taste the death, then unto us you shall be returned.
أينما تكونوا يدرككم الموت ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة.
Wherever you may be, death will overtake you even if you are in fortress. Build up strong and high. قال مجاهد. This verse has a story behind it. Imam Bijri Tabari mentioned that Mujahid said, there was in one of the prophets of the children of Israel, a man was young at that time, was like a teenager. He used to work for a family, and this family had a daughter. So he brought it to one of the prophets, or at that time. So the prophet of the children of Israel, he said, this girl, when she grow up, she will be a prostitute. And she will sleep with over 100 men. And you will end up marrying her. He said, this young man. And he said, and she will die by a spider bite. So that young man said, I don't believe it. He said, it makes no sense to me. I would never marry a woman who slept with 100 men before me. That's never going to happen. But you know what? He's a prophet. He might be right. He wait until he's a servant. So he went until his masters go to sleep. Then he goes and he killed the girl. قال فأخذ موسى. He took a razor. فبقر بطنها. He made a big cut in its stomach, or a cut in its stomach and guts, so it will bleed to death. Because he's scared that this prophecy come true. He said, now I ended the prophecy. And because he's scared, he ran away from the family. Because they're going to catch him. يقول مجاهد. Then the girl survived. Brought doctor and the maid managed to survive. And she grew up. And life changed with her. And she ended up living in one of the juzur, in one of the islands, by herself. So the only way she can survive and she can have money, she started prostituting. And she became very famous of that. And one day this man who ran away, he became rich, and he ended up in the island. And he said, I like your island, and I want to settle here. I want you to pick for me the most beautiful woman in this island. They said, we have the most beautiful woman in this island, but she is a prostitute. He said, prostitute? I'm not going to marry a prostitute. That's remind me of something a long time ago I heard, but let me talk to her. فَلَمَّا رَآهَا. When he saw her, he couldn't resist her beauty. And she said, I'm willing to repent and to quit. Then he asked her, did you sleep with 100 men? It's still in his head. Then she said, I'm not sure, 100 more or less, I never counted them. And he ended up marrying her. Then she asked him, she said, why did you ask these weird questions? Like, why did you ask all these questions?
He said, because you don't know my story. She said, what's your story? And he told her the story. And she said, wallahi, that girl is me. And she showed him where the cut is. Then he said, he took all his money and he built for her on that island a burj, a fortress, so high. And he said, no one allowed to go there. And he put basically people to serve her, to take care of her. And he put her in that fortress because he doesn't want her to die. Until one day, they found her dead next to a spider that she squashed the spider with her feet. She killed the spider with her feet, and it basically bit her. And because it was in the fortress, and she was very high up, she couldn't have time to go to call anyone to survive or to help her. She actually, the fortress that he built to protect her was the reason for her to die, alone on that, on the top of that fortress. أينما تكون يدرككم الموت. I lived in Saudi Arabia, and in the east province of Saudi Arabia, I grew up there. One of my friend once told me of incident. He said there was a worker working he is like a construction worker. And you know how they have this someone a sagala, it's like a piece of wood basically connected to four pillar metal like pillars, okay? And it's very wobbly and not stable. It's very risky. Anyway, the guy fell off that, but alhamdulillah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qadr, he fell into, he just arrived at that moment, or just a few minutes ago, arrived a six-wheeler, like a big, huge truck with a load of sand because they were doing construction. It just parked there. And he fell on the top of the sand. Allah saved him. And everybody, mashallah, then they said, هذه حقها نفسي. That's deserved to treat us with a round of Pepsi. You know, there's no round of khamar, you know, of Pepsi. You get by everybody drink. He said, Abshir. He went and he got them the Pepsi. When he came back across the street, a car came and hit him. When you fall, he still has 10 minutes left in his life. He has to live it. لكل أجل كتاب. Your lifespan is decided before you're born. Where, when, how you will die. Where you will die. النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في مسلم بن أحمد and الترمذي that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said إذا قضى الله لعبد أن يموت بأرض جعل الله له فيها حاجة. When Allah decides someone die in a land, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make for you a reason to go to that land so you can die in that land. It was mentioned that Sulaiman alayhi salam, the angel of death came and visited him. And he looked at someone in the gathering, in the court of Sulaiman. And this man got scared and he said to Sulaiman after the angel of death left, you know what, I don't want to be here. This angel scared me. The angel of death looking straight to my face and kind of surprised. I don't want to be here. He said, where do you want to go? I can order the wind to carry any land you want. He said, take me to India, farthest land. He goes to India. Then when the angel of death came back, he told Sulaiman, he came to Sulaiman. Sulaiman said, you scared my friend. He said, which one? He said, the one that you visited me that day and you looked straight to his face and his eyes. He said, I was just surprised to see him in your court. He said, why? He said, because Allah ordered me to go collect his soul from India. And I was wondering what he's doing here. The moral of this story is, basically you don't, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have something for you, it will happen. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أعمار أمتي من الستين والسبعين in sixties and seventies and few go to the eighties and nineties but the majority actually die in the earlier time. Death is the opposite of life. أموات غير أحياء. They're dead, not alive. If you're alive, you're not dead. If you're dead, you're not alive. And we mean by that the life of this worldly life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created death as He created life. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The one who had created death and life, that He may test which of you is best indeed. So when we think about death, when we see death, when we talk about death, the whole point is what Allah said here. When you think about life, the whole point is this, to see who will do the best of deeds. That's why in Islam, you're not allowed to cry over somebody's die more than 3 days. After 3 days, khalas, no more crying and weeping, and the whole entire world doesn't shut down for the death of someone. Why? Because you have to move on. But to move on is not to be heedless. To move on, it doesn't mean that I don't think about it anymore. No. What the Quran wanted to be, your reaction should be positive. You should start thinking, okay, I need to prepare myself. I need to be ready when this time comes. Because this dunya is short. This dunya is not worth to be all my investment in it. هذه الدنيا من صح فيها مرض. The person who stay healthy, he ends up in the end of the day sick and old. Even if you stay healthy all your life, you're going to be old. And when you get old, you get sick easily. ومن افتقر فيها اغتن. The poor are in hardship. ومن اغتنى فيها فتن. And rich people are in fitna, in trial and test, deceived by the wealth. قال حلالها حساب وحرامها عذاب. The halal thing in it, you will be held accountable for it. It's halal to have money. Allah will ask you where you got it from and how you spend it. Halal to be healthy and to be young and to be happy. Allah will ask you what you did in your youth, what you did with your time. وحرام وعند حرام in it, عذاب, punishment. That's the dunya, as Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said. Death is the opposite of life. العلماء rahimahullah يقولون death is viewed as an occurrence that happened to the soul. It's not like what the philosophers consider death to be, the inhalation of the soul. Yani philosophers, when they talk about, and many people when they talk about death, they feel that it means you cease to exist. It's not how death in Islam. Islam sees death as something occur to the soul. It's like soul, Allah created the soul. Then Allah gives soul life. How He gives the soul life? Attach it to the body in your mother's womb. So the soul occurred to something called life. Then occurred to something called death. It's another state you will be in. You move from this life to another one. يقول ابن القيم رحمه الله, Allah made us of a body and a soul. And He made for us three type of lives, or three dur, three states. Number one is this worldly life, where your body is the one who is in joy and suffer the most, and your soul partially suffer or rewarded. When you die, your body partially suffer or get rewarded, but your soul mainly rewarded or punished. And in the after resurrection, it is equal between the body and the soul, the reward and the punishment. I'll focus on the second state,
that you are in. As he said, the knowledge of the time of death is only belong to Allah. وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ كِتَابًا مُؤَجَّلًا. And no person can ever die except by Allah's leave and an appointed term. Also, one thing that I would like to say, that death happens when the angel of death comes and collect the soul. And that's a famous statement, the angel of death collect the soul. But if we look at the Quran, we see the Quran says,
Allah يتوفى الأنفس حين موتها.
Allah is the one who collect the souls of the people who their time of death arrive.
قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ.
The angel of death will collect your soul. That's what his job. So here Allah referred that the angel of death is the one who will do this job. A third verse, Allah says,
تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّطُونَ.
In Surah Al-An'am, our messengers will come and collect the souls. So sometimes Allah referred to himself doing that, putting people to death. Another verse, the angel of death. Another verse, the angels, not angel, not single, but plural. Is there any contradictions? No. How can we solve this? Easy. Allah referred to himself because he's the one who gives the order and decide when you die. The angel of death and the angels of death, because when the angel of death comes, he comes with him other angels. That's why in hadith al-Bara' wa ghayr, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this hadith will, inshallah, come to know about it more in another session, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the angel of death comes with him angels to aid him. And when he collects the soul, he passes it to them. He passes it to them. Okay?
There is khilaf lakin ba'if. There is difference of opinions, but the second opinion is weak, and very, very few people said that.
They said there is multiple angel of death. There is multiple angels of death, and there is as many as the number of people. And they said that to explain, how can you explain that one angel can collect the soul of thousands of people dying at the same time in different places in the world? And the answer for this, you don't need to say there is multiple angels of death. You can answer this by basically saying that the way the angels function is very different than us. It's like shaitan. There is one shaitan. But one shaitan can whisper to all those people in the same time. How? We don't know. That's beyond, see, the world of the unseen, the world of the unseen. All of the things, I can understand what is said, but I cannot imagine what was said. I can't picture. I cannot know how. I know what it means, but I don't know how it happened. And there is a difference between how and what it means. That's right. If I tell you, I have a car, and that car is a car. When you hear me saying a car, you know that I'm riding what? A vehicle. I'm not riding a fountain or an umbrella or a tree. You understand a car, but you don't know what kind of car. Is it black? Is it white? How does it work? How it's function? It's a fly? It is a truck? You don't know what kind of vehicle. But you understand a concept, a meaning, but the how is a different. So Allah tells us about many things in the Day of Judgment. We know what it means, but we know how it works. Allah tells us about His attributes. We know what it means that Allah hears everyone in the same way, in the same time, without these voices mixing. But how, we don't know. How, it is something beyond your ability to imagine. But you understand and you comprehend. And also, I will end with this. Umar rahimahullah said that at death, there is something called sakratul maut. وجاءت سكرة الموت بالحق. Sakra It means pain. هو شدة وألم.
عائشة had that thought that the pain upon death is not a good thing. She thought that the believers, when they die, they don't experience any kind of pain or hardship. But she realized later on she was completely wrong. When she witnessed her husband, the best man, the most righteous man ever, which is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she saw how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. When she saw the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قالت رضي الله عنها وأرضاها قالت والله لا أكره شدة الموت لأحد بعد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أبدا. I will never hate or feel bad for anyone go through suffering upon death after what I saw from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he put the cold water on his forehead and he would say لا إله إلا الله إن للموت لسكرات. لا إله إلا الله, death is hard, death is hard, صلى الله عليه وسلم. And not only him, Abu Bakr, her father also, she witnessed her father. And she saw how her father was in very, يعني, it was hard on Abu Bakr, sweating and يعني, في كرة بالموت. And he was covering his face, doesn't want anyone to see the pain in his face. That's Abu Bakr Siddiq. And Aisha, she was moved by that, رضي الله عنها وارضاها. And she started quoting this poetry at this point. And she said, لَعَمْرُكَ مَا يُغْنِ الثَّرَى عَنِ الْفَتَى إِذَا حَشْرَنَتْ يَوْمًا وَضَاقَ بِهَا الصَّدْرُ. What wealth will do in a point when the people are experienced death? She quoted the poetry. Then Abu Bakr uncovered his face and he said, لَا تَقُولِ بِهَذَا يَا بِنْتَهِ. Don't say, daughter, don't say this. Say what Allah said in the Quran, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. The pain of death have comes with the truth. It's a painful moment. لكن كما قال الحافظ بن حجر, الحافظ حجر said, that pain that the person experienced upon death, one of two, ترفع درجاتك أو تكفر سيئاتك, or both. It raises some of your sins, or it elevates your level in Jannah. And it is the moment of death, just because of the soul, attached to the body. And when the soul starts leaving the body, the believer is very different than the disbeliever. The righteous is very different than the fajr, the wrongdoers. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the soul of the believer will leave the body like the water when you pour it from the container or the bottle, just go smooth. For the one who is wrongdoers, for the kafir, for the hypocrites, يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فتتشعب روحه تفر روحه تتشعب في جسده. When the angel of death approached to take the body, the soul is scared from the angel of death and start running away inside the body, going to the far, where he collect the soul from the throat. So where the soul goes, the Prophet said, it runs in every farther point of your body. Your feet, your fingers. Then the angel of death will grab it and start pulling it out from the throat. And that's what you call that. That moment when the soul leaves. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, when the soul is taken, the eyes following it. You see your own soul for the first time. And you see the angel for the first time. فبصرك اليوم حديد. يعني شديد الحدة. You have perfect sight that enable you to see what you never able to see in this dunya. You see through things, through the unseen. Now you can see the world of the unseen. For you it's not unseen anymore. For us is. وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Allah said about the dead person dying, we don't see what they see.
Umar ibn al-Aziz, when death came, he told the people around, I see people's faces, not jinn, not humans, the face of the angels. I see them coming, and nobody can see anything from the people around Umar ibn al-Aziz. And he was died soon after that. Those angels telling you, inshallah, the people of the masajid, the people of iman, the people of tawbah, the people of repentance. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those who said Allah is our Lord and they stood fast. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Angel comes to tell them, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. And لأهل العلم قولان في هذه الآية. There is two opinions about what this verse means. First one is the famous one. Ibn Abbas said that. The angel will say, upon the moment of death, don't be afraid and don't be sad. لا تخافوا من الموت. Don't be scared of death. ولا تحزنوا على أولادكم. And don't be sad about your children that you're leaving behind. Or لا تخافوا مما أمامكم ولا تحزنوا على ما خلفكم. Don't be afraid for what ahead of you and don't be sad about what behind you. The other opinion is the angel will say this when you come out from your grave, when you rise from your grave. And it could be both, applied to both. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Same thing, الَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ طَيِّبُونَ. Those who die while in the good state. يَقُولُونَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ اُدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, enter in paradise, come to paradise. يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ. Oh, that soul that it is filled with tranquility and peace. ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية. Come back to your Lord. You'll be pleased because Allah is pleased with you. فأما إن كان من المقربين فروح وريحان وجنة نعيم. وأما إن كان من أصحاب اليمين فسلام لك من أصحاب اليمين. If you are among the righteous, the one who high level of iman, or good believers, or a believer, there is good for you upon your death. That's why the believers know upon this moment where they are heading. The angel give them that they're going to end up in Jannah or end up in hellfire. May Allah protect all of us. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعو وأختم بهذا. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم used to make this dua. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك. Oh, the one who control the heart, keep my heart upon your deen. وكان يقول اللهم يا ولي الإسلام وأهله. يا ولي الإسلام وأهله. مسكني بالإسلام حتى ألقاك. Oh Allah, you the wali, you the supporter, the one who loves and supports the believing men and women. Make me always hold tight to Islam until I meet you. I will leave you here. And when I see in my next, inshallah, I'm going to be giving in May, another Friday Night Lights. That one will start from this point. After your soul leave your throat, what will happen? What they will do with it? But I thought today would be appropriate to speak about until this point. And from now on, until the day you resurrect, that will be, inshallah, our next Friday Night Lights, when we meet, inshallah, in May, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us time and life. Until then, just think about death, prepare for yourself for it all the time, and make sure that you increase your dua. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Allahumma ya wali al-islam wa ahlih, masikni bil-islam hatta ألقاك. اللهم آمين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.